You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. It's a beautiful day, and I hope you're enjoying it. I thought I would talk about for the next couple of broadcasts regarding a subject that we desperately need. We needed it before, and we need it ever more so today, and that is the subject of kindness. You know, there was a beautiful song that was recorded by Dionne Warwick during the 60s. It actually was released in 1966, and the song was called What the World Needs Now. Absolutely beautiful song. And when it was first offered to Dionne Warwick, she turned it down. She turned it down because she felt it was too countryish and it sounded a little too preachy. Well, we know the end result of that. It became a blockbuster hit among other hits that Dionne Warwick went on to record. And so with that in mind, I offer up a little prayer. Oh Lord, give me strength today to show kindness in all that I do. Help me to open my arms to those less fortunate and extend my hand to those who may need it, so that they may see you in my kind words and actions. Amen. One kind word, one kind thought, one kind deed, one at a time, and the world would be transformed, brothers and sisters. Every thought pondered, every word uttered, every deed performed counts. Nothing is lost, good or bad. Nothing dissipates in the void. And rather, everything is recorded in the human brain and heart. Violence invades our lives because we choose to keep greed, to keep selfishness and anger alive in our hearts and souls. And if we enjoy peace and happiness and abundance, this is because we foster goodwill, forgiveness, and kindness. People all over the world are hungry for peace of mind, for finding solutions to their problems, for finding ways to improve their relationships with others, and for finding meaningful ways of life. A loving and generous kindness can certainly make a difference. Kindness, a precious God-given gift to us, is one of the sweet expressions of love. Giving, not because we have to, but for the sheer sake of giving, just out of love, is something really beautiful. It's out of this world. This kind of gratuitous goodness, a lavish kindness, makes our world a better place in which to live. And you know what? It makes us better people. Everyone benefits from kindness. We are so deeply touched by it that we are transformed. In the holy of holies of our being, we feel connected and centered, engaged, and deeply bonded to others. And regardless of our religion, regardless of our ideology, ideology, our race, our gender, everything, After all, we're all made of flesh, bones, and blood, and we all belong to one human family. We all have the same basic needs. We are one, and we are whole. But we cannot be kind. We cannot be but kind together and to each other. You know, it's written in our very nature and clearly stated in Scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And that is Luke 10. Love is the foundation of our very survival. Kindness, it means empathy, my friends. It means encouragement. It means admiration, service. It means understanding. And that desire to conform ourselves to the image of God and to Jesus Christ will make bitterness and cunningness and lies disappear. The very attempt to be like Jesus, all of us, and to see Jesus in every person we meet is already a source of sweetness that flows from our very being to all those who come our way. You know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, "Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting." Fulton Sheen insisted there are three rules dealing with those who come to us. Kindness, number two, kindness, and number three, kindness. Kindness is more important than knowledge, and it can reach the deepest call of the heart and soul and lead, my goodness, to a different kind of world and self. You know, we've already certainly reached an advanced level of scientific and material progress, but our internal progress remains inadequate. A spiritual revival is a must. So I hope with the concepts and implications that I present to you in the next couple of broadcasts, I hope that they find you making a connection. And you have, and we all have, the capacity to change the world simply by changing ourselves. And we can make things happen if we choose. We can transform our world and our common destiny as we wish. Kindness holds the key to the secret of our own transformation and in the process of the transformation of the world. Romans chapter 12, excuse me, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, many of us may have experienced a new heart in God, and yet we still seem more often than not adamantly attached to our old minds, and you know what? That little tape in our heads, that has to change. The Apostle Paul noticed the temptations of our fallen nature and the attractions of the world, insisted in the letters on the necessity of renewing our minds, the having the mind of Christ, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, of clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Colossians 3, verse 12, on the necessity to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, to clothe ourselves with the new self according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Although this transformation into a life of Christ-like humility, it seems like to be a daily challenge for all of us, it is such a change that it's so critically important because of our salvation, as well as our own survival on earth, is at stake. And collectively, we as human beings, we need to take stock of what we think, and therefore what we create. Do we want to participate in goodness and kindness of God on earth, or do we want evil and more destruction to rule our lives? You know, our thoughts have the ability to shape reality, right? Indeed, listen, we are what we think we are, and we will be and do what we think we can be and do. If we think defeat, we will create the conditions that lead to defeat. If we think success and really believe it, we will do things that lead to success. When we surround ourselves with a negative climate of complaints and expectations of the worst, we fill our little computer brain with suggestions that will materialize. Yeah, it will materialize in illness, in an accident, and depression. When we feed our brain with encouragement, beautiful images, positive input, high ideals, we will be rewarded with a positive output of good health. What you feed your brain, my friends, feeds the rest of your body, and what you spew out is a reflection of what you've been putting in. Just if you put in negative, don't expect positive to come out. You've already fed it negative, so you're going to be drawn to that. You're going to create that kind of environment for yourself, that kind of mindset that this is where you're going. You know, excuse me, when Albert Einstein said, "The unleashed power of the atom has changed everything, save our modes of thinking, and we thus drift toward unparalleled catastrophe," he was expressing his concern about the power of the mind. It can create either more beauty or more destruction on earth, right? So, brothers and sisters, most of us are aware of recent studies that demonstrate the link between the mind and the body. We know of these things. The new physics has validated that, and the power of the mind is inventing our own reality. And new medicine has proved time and time again that illness and recovery are often the product of simultaneous physical, psychological, and spiritual conditions. If you are facing a challenge today and you say, "Oh, I'll never be able to walk again. No, I'll never be able to get out of this wheelchair." And from an accident, I'm not talking about permanent paralysis that's there. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that is temporary, but we delay it of the progress we make with our body because of the thoughts we have. If it is true that the world usually mirrors our state of mind, it's also true that we feed our brain with this very world. So we feed our brain with the physical nutrients of the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the water we drink. But we also feed our brain with ideas, whether they're good or bad, found in the books we read, the television programs we choose to watch, the movies we watch, and the experiences we acquire through contacts with other people, and, of course, through the different circumstances of life. The mind food is our entire environment. All that influences our conscious and subconscious thoughts, and all that determines our habits, our attitudes, and our personality. There is no doubt there is an inevitable exchange between the mind and the world. The world contributes in feeding our mind, and our mind contributes in creating the world in our image. Have you ever thought about what kind of person you would be had you been born in a different religion, a different culture, or a different way of life? Have you ever thought about your present belief system, your values, and how they made you the way you are? Have you thought about the way you run your life and why you behave the way you do? Have you thought about your obligation for leaving your own impact on the world, the one that gave you so much? And can you consider kindness as your gift to this world? And by doing so, my dear brothers and sisters, you will be kind to yourself. The problem is not in the problem, but in how we see it. With a change in vision, a kind thought, a genuine quest for goodness, right? No matter where you are right now, whether you're in prison, whether you're in jail, whether you're facing a life-challenging situation, thoughts and interactions command the flow of our energy. Thoughts, my dear friends, are power. Thoughts are power. They are the source that gives life to words and deeds. Words and deeds remain in darkness if they are not animated by kind and loving thoughts that radiate what? God's light and goodness in the world. You know, during this Easter season, we had the story about the prodigal son of the gospel in Luke 15. And he took his share, remember, of property and left to go to a distant country. And his father kept thinking of him with what? With kindness. His father wasn't angry. In addition to the misery he found himself in, this son, he must have felt his father's kindness even from far away. Kind thoughts transcend space and time. They contributed greatly in making this son to come to himself, thinking and concluding that he would get up and go to my father. And while he was still far off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion. He ran, right? He ran and he put his arms around him and kissed him before even letting him finish his long over rehearsed speech, right, of conversion. It was the thoughtful kindness of the father that freed the son from the attitudes, from the philosophy of life, and the ways of thinking locked in sin. And this same thoughtful kindness freed the older son from his jealousy, anger, and resentment, as well as from his so-called righteousness and loyalty. Both sons had a certain pattern of thought that needed to be transformed and renewed, and the kindness of the father, of course, he did the job. No matter where people are in life today, kindness makes them celebrate together. Kindness has something of God's benevolence. The poor widow of the gospel who contributed what was worth a penny to the treasury because she could not afford more she put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had, all she had to live on. And that is in Mark chapter 12. Love is the key, right? St. John put it boldly, whoever does not love abides in death. 1 John 3, the heart does not mean much without a fire in it. A kind thought is the fire that animates the hearth. So I'm just checking my time. Okay, good. You know, brothers and sisters, people often think what is important is to conform their deeds to the law. Excuse me. We now know that any outward deed really is the result of an inward thought. We know that any conduct we choose originates in the thoughts we entertain in our minds. And this means that if we entertain a covetous thought for our neighbor's money, we already have a thief in our heart. We have a thief in us. And sooner or later, the outer act will materialize. If we entertain healthy, positive, and kind thoughts, these thoughts will be translated into action. Kindness begets kindness. Jesus promised it when he said, all things can be done for the one who believes. Mark chapter 9. St. Paul made it clear, if we want to live Christ's life, every aspect of our minds needs to be renewed. We should allow the Holy Spirit to work with our spirit so that we can be transformed. Yes, anybody can be transformed, you and I. Do we really believe that our old ways of life, including our old ways of thinking, were crucified on the cross with Jesus? And that our new life is resurrected with the resurrected Christ? Aren't we convinced that we should put the new wine into fresh wineskins, as Jesus suggested? Aren't we convinced that our weak old ways of thinking should be replaced with the new ways of the Holy Spirit, who will inspire us with new thoughts and desires, helping us to develop new perspectives, brothers and sisters? You know, it's a thin veil, if you want to say, between stepping into light or stepping into darkness. But stepping into light, brothers and sisters, is much more fruitful, much more for your salvation, so that you can reach heaven. It's for all of us. The blessing that will animate all our thoughts, our decisions, will become, you know, will become a whole new creation in the Lord. And then we can be the instruments of his benevolence and kindness to our families and our friends and you know what? Even our enemies. So when you think about it, what do kind thoughts actually really do? Well, they, you know what? They open up your heart. They open up your soul. They open up your mind to allow God to penetrate and dwell in you, right? They prepare the way to prayer and meditation. They align our view to God's view, which is not only, guess what, the truest view, but it's the only true view at all. The rest are lies from the evil one. Thus, any kind of discrimination, any kind of prejudice, any kind of suspicion, any kind of bitterness, any kind of hostility becomes foreign. It becomes foreign to a healthy behavior. And you know what? It dissipates. It just breaks down. If every day in our morning and evening prayers, we try to foster in our heart a readiness to forgive and forget any offense we are victims of, and couple this with understanding and acceptance, we would find ourselves helping others and ourselves become better people. That's what kindness does. It transforms us by making us better people. But in order to do this, I know it's not an easy task, especially in a society such as ours. Angry and self-hatred sets in. A kind Christian does not harbor frustration. A kind Christian is a challenging person, a spiritual athlete. To be Christian today is to be prepared to challenge indifference and aggression. How? With love, kindness, with patience, with peace. Because these virtues come from knowing that one is loved by God, chosen to live by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and called to set an example for and help transform those who live with lesser values and ideals. Lesser ideals, not ideas. Paul wrote, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way." And some people take pride in that. Oh, I'm really stubborn. I'm really stubborn. You know, it's my way or the highway. You know, my thoughts, my way of thinking is the best way, you know. But brothers and sisters, we have to realize that our blessings that we've had, our graces we've received during our lifetime, are all come from the grace of God. And grace means a gift. It's a free gift, a gift from God Almighty. Kind thoughts, to be true, have to be connected to God. They have to be. That's where our strength comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from us on our own. The Holy Spirit feeds us and strengthens us, consoles us, and gives us right thinking. He gives us right thinking, brothers and sisters. Kind thoughts, guess what? They foster peace. You know, war starts not when weapons clash at each other, but when minds and hearts, they're not at peace. And I think that's what saddens me in this world with what's going on between Ukraine. It's so tragic. It's so heart-wrenching. You know, You don't have to be from Poland. You don't have to be Polish. I'm sorry, I'm Ukrainian. You don't have to be, you know, from the Ukraine to feel that pain and anguish, what families have suffered and are suffering. But no one talks of peace. All we talk about, strengthening the army, fighting. But somewhere, that's why we have to be praying for our Ukrainian families, the Ukrainian country. I'm praying for Putin, President Putin, to come to the thoughts of peace, that we need to stop, to come to a right decision, to pray for him. We have to pray for him too. We have to pray for world peace. We really do, brothers and sisters. And I know that our parishes do that so much. I hope that all Ukrainian families, whether they've just arrived in Canada or have been here all their lives, know that our church is praying for you. They are praying for you, for peace, for safety, for love, for to be safe with your families, and for consolation and peace from the heart, from Jesus, from our Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, that you're not alone, that we are suffering right with you, that it breaks our hearts too. Nobody wants to see this. It's right before our eyes, brothers and sisters. You know, if we really have kind thoughts, we naturally and spontaneously disregard the offenses that irritate our egos. We and turn a deaf ear to an unjust and unjustified remark. We'll also refuse to hear a person speaking unkindly of another person, and we won't participate in any gossiping. My goodness, that's one of the worst things we can do to each other. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, used to recommend to her sisters, be kind and merciful. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness, kindness in your face, kindness in your warm greeting. Yes, people crave joy and they just don't have it. They can't find it because they're looking for it where it doesn't exist. And so neither any splendid deeds can be by themselves bring the joy that satisfies the thirst of our souls. It, you know, you just can't find it just like that. So brothers and sisters, I pray that you find a quiet place, spend some time alone with God. Pray for yourself and your family and for others, and forgive any resentment that you may have had in the past. Try to think as you think Jesus might have thought in that particular situation, and surrender yourself and your world to him. Allow him to be your companion while you're going through your own circumstances of life. You will find yourself ready to have the mind of Christ. God bless you, and thank you so much for being with me today. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just a single day.